everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. How you doing this week, Eric?
I am great. Happy Zombie Jesus Day to you, Greg.
Happy belated Zombie Jesus Day to you.
Yes, belated.
We had we started recording this last night and had many a problem, and so I'm on a different computer right now in a public place.
Wearing different pants.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to keep them fresh and, you know, keep me in the mood.
For a reason.
There's a reason I don't like people.
Yeah, good week overall. Good food.
Did you go home for the holiday?
Home. Apparently everyone else in Chicago did as well because the drive back was horrible. But I still had a great weekend, and the week itself went by pretty well. The weather here is finally getting better, so that's what I like.
Nice, nice. My week was pretty uneventful. I worked all week, and then I took Good Friday off because I needed a day off, and so I just kind of bummed around town and enjoyed myself. It was good.
Were you good?
No.
Neither was I.
Good.
Gave it to us, which I thought was interesting.
we were out being bad on Good Friday.
Well, let's start this off.
All right, let's start off. You got the first one?
Yeah, my story of the week started off early. I loved it. It's about a Malaysian man who was billed $218 trillion for his own bill. And I just like to say that. $1 trillion.
Trillion.
And the greatest thing about this article, which we'll give you the links to at the end of our podcast, the article was posted in the Mainichi, I'm guessing, I don't know how to say it, Daily News, which is located in Malaysia. And they put the currency for Malaysia in the article, which there is 806 trillion ringgits, which I love because it sounds like, you know, they're using Tolkien money or something like that.
It sounds like they were trying to go through a toll booth and just got a bunch of change back.
We found these at a Just for Fun. so, you know, it's a hilarious article because this man canceled his father's phone service, or so he thought, after his father passed away. And he ended up getting a phone bill for $218 trillion. And the funniest, saddest thing about this whole thing is the company just said, yeah, we'll give you 10 days or else you're going to go to jail.
Yeah, it wasn't even like, well, we made a mistake. You know, we'll reevaluate it and send you a new bill. It was just instantly like, fuck you, 10 days, pay us now.
It was obvious. You must have called Jupiter. So you will pay in 10 days.
Phone home. That was an E.T. joke.
Yeah, very good article. Great website. The listeners need to go out and look at this website because the ads are from Malaysia. And, you know, we take for granted ads here, but at least they make sense, you know?
Somewhat.
When you look at ads for other countries and it's like a crying house and the ads for milk, you're kind of like, what? All right.
The one that I got was a gingerbread house, and there's all kinds of crazy Asian characters, and I don't know what they mean.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, but the worst part about the whole story is that I guess like all cell phone companies or all you know companies like that, they're the same around the world. They're all like, well, it's not our fault. Fuck you, pay us.
Exactly.
It's you know $2.8 trillion. There's no conceivable way that anyone ran up.
I don't even know how long. I mean, I guess I don't know how much it costs per minute to talk to someone, but
apparently it's $85,000.
Apparently in Malaysia, $85,000 a second. So, I mean, I just could not believe this. And I love the name of the company is Telecom, which, you know, right there kind of shows like this hilarious, overpowering name of a company. We are Telecom. They spell it with a K instead of a C. It's great.
I like that story.
What's on your plate?
That's a good one. Let's see. All right. My big story is from a blog posting that just 1% of people use podcasts in the U.S. And this came in at the end of last week, and it really, really kind of struck with me. just they did a comprehensive study on the U.S. Market of people who download, listen to, use the internet, all that kind of stuff. And the main summary is: podcasts have hit the mainstream consciousness, but have not yet seen widespread use. 1/4 of online consumers expressed interest in podcasts, with most interested in the time-shifting existing radio and internet radio channels. The survey showed that only 1% of online households in North America regularly download and listen to podcasts, which is really disheartening. Like, I mean, I'm one of the biggest supporters of podcasting out there, and I'm sure you're the same way. We're fucking making a podcast.
We're doing it right now.
We're doing it right now. I'm actually in the attic, so loser.
Well, that's technology.
The future machine. Now, but a lot of people have looked at this study and said, you know, well, I guess that's it. You know, we shouldn't do podcasts, or, you know, no one's going to be really interested in podcasts, so let's abandon the whole idea.
Whatever. I mean, first of all, there's the whole hypocrisy of the article, and that she's talking about this in her blog. I mean, hello, blogs, weren't they saying that was supposed to be some fad?
Right, exactly.
I remember, like, the first blogs I ever heard of were during the election. So it was like, who wants to read these anyways? It's like, hey, here's what Gary's doing. He's eating lunch at a corner on the cob. I'm like, I don't care about this. This is stupid. But, you know, that, the mass of Americans realized, oh, we could talk about whatever we want on these blogs. Great, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So I think it's, you know, she's talking about this on her blog, which is obviously now getting better, as all technology is in general. I mean, internet itself, high-speed internet. I remember when high-speed internet, people were like, whatever, that's too expensive. Get that out of here. And now, I can't even
find someone
in Malaysia that has dial-up. You know,
it's a bit pricey, but it's the same sort of study that, you know, exactly what you were saying. I mean, it sounds like the same sort of statistics that came out 5 years ago about blogs, or 15 years ago about the internet.
Yeah.
At all.
And look at technology, how it's treated in general. I mean, and the LP was the first type of music, you know, and the cassette tape came out, everyone was like, whatever, not going to buy that, you know, and then that got huge, and then the CD. I mean, it's just everything has to show its first few years that it can do what it does. And I mean, the way we radio, everyone loves radio because you can say and do whatever you want, especially with podcasting. I mean, there's no rules, and you can talk about what you think's cool, and there's enough people that you're going to find in your market to pick it up. I think podcasting is going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that it's only come out like a year ago. The technology's only been available for a little over a year, so.
Look at the people that have jumped on this. I mean, you've got Adult Swim, G4, you can link it somewhat podcasting to the TV shows you buy on iTunes.
Right.
Because, I mean, most of these people are buying these things, so you can look at, like, Stones Throw Records has a podcast. I mean, all these.
I didn't know that. I wanted.
You've got to subscribe. It's great. It's rarely updated. I feel they update it maybe once every 2 months, but.
Bitches. Ropadope has a really good one, actually, if you're.
See, yeah. I mean, all these places have great podcasts. They know what's going on. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
What's your name again?
Charlene Lee.
Yeah. Don't vote for her.
Don't vote. Okay. All right. Next story is yours. Go for it.
Yeah. The next story I have a link on my Delicious page to an article that was in the New York Times titled The Long Distance Journey of a Fast Food Order, which is pretty much saying the next time you go through Wendy's or McDonald's or Long John Silver's, whatever, you know, pleases your appetite, the person taking your order won't even be in the restaurant. You know, they're going to be in L.A. or India or somewhere else. I thought that this was amazing and kind of scary, because outsourcing, I can understand outsourcing computer technology, you know, like, oh yeah, we can get it out, we can get computers made, cheaper service over there, but ordering a Big Mac and fries, I mean, are we really going to start outsourcing that?
No, I totally disagree. I think this is sort of a no-brainer. It's, you know, why would they waste, like, someone sitting around in a McDonald's, like, you know, some 15-year-old kid you know, when it's a slow time for that McDonald's, you know, he's just sitting around doing nothing. Meanwhile, you know, they could employ, you know, half the people in Iowa or whatever, and still be just as efficient. But it's, you know, there was a lot of really sort of strange little bits in there. Did you catch those? Like, I'm finding it now. The fact that they have to like sit in front of a computer screen and they have to click a box like every 5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Like, that was weird.
It's right here. Yeah, she's expected to click it within 1.75 seconds.
Like that's just sort of weird, right?
Yeah. It sounds very, like, German. Like, you have 1.75 seconds, but we will whip you. Like, it just seemed really scary that's, like, their way. And I love...
Pictures are really strange. And it's just, like, there's a lot of, like, little sort of little bits and pieces of it that are just, like, just give you a glimpse into the, like, McDonald's corporation.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, you must ask for a condiment. You know, whatever. Okay. I was on a train. All right. My big story, the one that I've kind of liked all week. I've been following these Firefox flicks. Firefoxflicks.com.
Firefox Flicks is a great tongue twister.
I've been trying to explain it to people all week, and I slur my F's all the time, and I look like an idiot. Basically, what it is, Firefox says, we want you, the consumer, our users, to create an ad for us extolling our virtues, and the winner will receive $5,000. Some awesome prizes, and we'll actually have the spot aired on the air.
I think it's hot.
I think it's totally hot, and some of them are really good. There's one that totally cracked me up of they like superimposed people's faces on Internet Explorer window or the Internet Explorer logo and a few other ones, and they just made them like look totally idiotic and stupid. And I loved it.
Well, the thing I love about this. I mean, one, it's user voted, I believe. Well,
yeah.
Who decides, Firefox or?
On the main page, it says they have seven judges.
Yeah. See, the greatest thing about this is they're not being idiotic like Chevy ads were and stuff, where it's kind of like we're gonna post whatever's submitted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then it ended up backfiring. Here, you got seven guys that are gonna be like, oh, this one's stupid. Don't even look at it. You know. Like, that's what's going to be great about this. The reason I love it is because I think Firefox is one of the best programs out there, and I can't believe how many people don't use it.
Yeah, it's shocking.
I mean, there's so many great things about this, and I love how they provide you with everything. When you download it, they're like, hey, figure out cool ways to edit our program, and we'll post it on our website.
Yeah.
Like all the tab browsing and all the ways to just load or save things. The different ways to get RSS feeds. I mean, the way they just leave it up to the users, it's like, hey, we know that we can't think of everything, so if you guys think of any cool ways to mess with our program, here's how we made it. You know, do whatever you want. I think it's awesome.
And it's a great program, and if you're listening to this and you don't have Firefox, you know, download it, check it out for a week, and it'll sort of change the way you use internet,
their
I guarantee.
Product line. I mean, I use their Thunderbird.
I haven't used the Thunderbird yet, because I'm not big on the email.
It's really good if you have Gmail. It goes well with it.
Yeah.
I think they're just a great program in general. Good company.
But I mean, you know me. I'm a huge fan of like consumer generated content, and this is.
He has a T-shirt.
I have a T-shirt that says consumer generated content, and I made it. So, but I think that. There needs to be more of it, and it needs to be utilized. And I think Firefox is really utilizing it well.
Are you eating Girl Scout cookies?
Yes, I'm eating a Girl Scout cookie, a thin mint, actually.
That's awesome. Well, they're out right now, right? I don't know. I see them.
I had hoped to disguise my eating habits, but I was wrong.
Oh, that's okay. I can tell.
All right, so. Though I don't know. Bottom line, I think the Firefox Flicks, and I actually created one And I'm
everyone check it out. It's hilarious.
I'll tell you what, I'll post it on our blog, the knowledgeis.blogspot.com, after the show. It's nearly finished, and so.
You know what just came to my mind, which, you know, at first I was, when you see Greg's ad, you'll realize why I'm bringing this up, and you had mentioned other people that have used the Internet Explorer logo. At first I was wondering, well, do they really want to start a war? I mean, if you look at, I mean, even NetZero and Netscape badmouth each other in commercials.
Yeah. You know?
And, like, who uses either one of those? It's like the two worst companies battling each other out. Like, well, at least we're not the worst.
Yeah, and meanwhile, meanwhile, Microsoft Internet Explorer just laughing.
Like, laugh. Oh, it's hilarious. So I could maybe see Firefox, you know, it could be like the Bud Miller version of Internet.
You know? Exactly. It's the future. Okay, we've taken time's up on that one. Next subject. Your story.
Okay, my final story is about the Disney ride that reopened a day after a woman died, and to me, this ties into the Disney being the world's largest pimps, and not in a good way, I guess. In just that they're like, oh yeah, someone died. Yeah, whatever, our ride's still good. And people will still go. Like, you know, someone died on the ride. I remember, I don't know if our listeners know about Cedar Point. It's a giant roller coaster place. If someone, you know, accidentally sneezes on the roller coaster there, they shut it down for the entire rest of the day.
Like 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, and then they run it, you know, and they go through the animal progression. Like, they first put mice on.
Eventually monkeys, and if a monkey sneezes, you know, it all starts back
exactly.
again.
They start all over. But Disney, you know, an old woman dies, and it's not the first death. Some little kid died on the ride, too. And they're just like, yeah, we tested it, it's fine. I just think it's amazing that Disney has this great marketing that kids don't even care. You could tell a kid someone has died on our ride, and they don't care.
And then it becomes like, you know, ooh, see if you can spot the spooky ghost or something like that.
That's what they turned it into. They were like,
That's what happened with the Haunted Mansion, I bet. If they were
Mansion was originally just kind of bumper cars. They were like, We got it.
You know, Bill in marketing that was testing it out? Yeah, he died. But we can all appreciate Bob's memory with a commemorative...
Pirates of the Caribbean was originally just like a love boat ride that a lot of drunks stumbled in upon one day, and they were like, well, we got it.
It's the power of the... But who... I want to know who was the kid the next day, front of the line, yes, I can't wait. Oh, I've been waiting for Mission Space for... You know, for 2 weeks, and mom and dad are here, and I'm first in line. And, you know, he knows that, you know, someone had died the day before on the ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to, like, wipe the blood off or the vomit or whatever.
See, I just feel, I mean, this ride is that one you see in all the movies and stuff where they tend to sit you in that thing and it spins around in a circle. It's what those NASA people do.
That's well, yeah, like the Gravitron, like at all the fucking state fairs.
But I mean, like... Who likes that ride anyway? Like, that to me is just painful.
But no.
Like,
but,
hey, want to have your stomach in your eyeballs?
I've ridden that a couple times, and I've never been like, oh my god, I'm in pain, or, you know, I've certainly never said, like, oh, I'm near death by riding that.
I've been on a lot of scary rides, and, you know, I've never in my once thought, oh my god, I'm going to die.
This 49-year-old German woman who died must have been made of Jello. You gotta toughen your kids up. All right, time's up. Okay, last story. My story is YouTube. The YouTube director. I don't know, Eric, if you saw this story or not. What it is, YouTube, our favorite online video posting site in the world, ever in the history of the world. My big problem with them is that they were seeking to combat copyright infringement by limiting all videos to 10 minutes.
Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, a lot of people complained, and I know I was upset about it because I was my 45-minute opus to...
entitled Pig's Hoof.
Pig's Hoof. It was a tribute to the movie Babe. It was sort
Pig in the City, the second,
of
not the original.
Pig in the City 2, actually.
For babies.
What they did is they created this director program, which you can apply for, and if you're accepted...
Did you apply? Have you seen... I didn't go through the application process. So
I did apply, and I got rejected.
Whoa!
Yeah, I just found out today that I got rejected for it.
What the heck?
Because none
what
of the videos...
did you...
The only thing I use YouTube for is my other podcast, Shameless Plug, ScrambledEggs2.blogspot.com.
Check it out.
So the only thing I use it for is that, which, you know, tops out at 5 minutes. And what they said in their letter is that they were looking for, you know, for people that were pushing the 10-minute limit. You know, the people that were at 8 or 9 minutes consistently on all their videos. And
so if it was because you weren't, you know, it's not like a movie you're making where it's all you created the whole X amount of minutes. You know, Scrambled Eggs 2 is kind of a recap of things going on digital world and so forth. I wonder, do you think that might have had to do with it?
I mean, it might be because, you know, I take a lot of content, you know, without asking for it. don't sue me, people. But I felt like, you know, it would have been a good fit because, you know, it is, I, you know, take a 6 or 7 seconds of my day to create the video every week.
Really?
And so, I don't know. So I was very heartbroken. I just sat at home and cried all weekend, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see, you know, what comes out of this, cause I'll be pissed if all I see is a bunch of young white kids from the suburb try to rap.
Yeah, singing along the Backstreet Boys
because
again.
I've been to YouTube many times because I like to see what's going on. And I feel the, you know, when they can show you the top 20 videos of the day or the week and so forth, it's always stupid teenagers trying, it's either a guy trying to rap or a girl that thinks she's sexy and trying to dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
You see a lot of like home webcam stuff where they're...
Exactly.
They keep looking back and forth between the camera, which is directly above the screen.
Above the screen. And they look out. Oh, wait. Am I focused?
Oh, am I? And then they keep looking at, and they keep looking back and forth. And it's always poorly lit. And they're always like 6 inches away from the camera. And so all you see is their fucking head.
Yeah.
But this is cool. Because like,
what
you can do is they allow you. But it's not only the 10-minute rule, but they allow you to do anything with it. You can, I can see here, you can sell it, you know, you can set a price on it.
Oh, that's hot.
You can set a showtime, like when it will air, among other things. And it's free, I thought it was...
Coming from my end, some of the listeners here might know, many won't, but I'm involved in Second City out here in Chicago, and if you think about, this could be a great way for comedy groups and other people to put up scenes and skits and videos they've done, you know, because 10 minutes was not a lot to show, and if you can put something up longer, it'll get your name out there. I think this is gonna head towards a lot of great things. I mean, if you think about pitching movie ideas,
yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I mean, I remember it used to be, you know, if you had a great script, you had a movie. Well, I feel now if you can use an 8mm camera
and film the whole thing,
and film something and just put it on YouTube, I mean, you might have a breakout film.
Yeah. All right. Time's up on this one.
Cool.
That's the last one. All right. So that's the last story. Let's move on to heroes and villains. Who are who's your villain for the week?
All right. Villain, loser, whatever you want to call, Pamela Rogers.
Pamela Rogers?
Yeah.
Now, who's she?
So, that starts with history. I feel like, one, I'm a little annoyed. Why did this pass my generation? I mean, I guess, one, I'm not too, you know, pissed off about this because none of my teachers were good looking.
Where are our hot teachers to molest us?
Teachers are sleeping with high school students. Anyways, the reason she's a loser is because not only did she get caught X amount of months ago, this is the one that got caught in Tennessee.
Molesting her students.
She went on MySpace and put up a page about herself and her love for this, you know, 17-year-old boy. think, you know, not realizing, oh yeah, other people probably can read this, like his parents. So I think she was glad she got.
Say again, I lost you at the end there.
I'm glad she got caught.
I'm looking now. It says she's trying to get a plea deal, saying the prosecutor, male jurors may not see sex with boy as a crime.
Really?
Yeah, I'm reading through. But what website is this? Is this who? The Tennessean. Tennessean has a great website.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. What's so great about it? Because it has the pictures and the...
It has... You can, like, enlarge and get, like, a, you know, a high-res image of, like, her mugshot. It has a PDF of her arrest warrant.
Arrest warrant, I know.
This is great. And they have links to, like, all
there's
of
not
her
much,
other...
Dude, there's not much going on in Tennessee.
I guess not. They just have time
so
to...
when something like this happens...
And, oh, they have shots of her website.
I know.
That's funny.
So, which, you know, I think it's funny to see, I'm not sure what she taught, I'm hoping it's not English, because you see her grammar and her word choice, you're just like, oh.
And I really hope it wasn't web design skills, look, Let It Burn with this really,
Let It Burn,
Let It Burn, and she like has some swipe gif of like burning things, oh god.
My favorite line, I gotta find it, okay. Here we go. I'm going to quote the MySpace page.
Okay.
My plans are your plans. Nothing's changed. Say it. Say it. Always is the word, baby. Always. Listen to Far Away by Nickelback. You.
That sums up my feelings, too. How do we get a clip of Nickelback really, really quickly? I really want to play this right now. I'll find it later and superimpose it.
Please do.
Far Away. I'm just guessing at the melody of this Far Away Nickelback song. Okay. By the way, another good mashup would have been like when they had all that, all those Brokeback Mountains, Nickelback Mountain.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Good thing I'm 2 million years late.
You know what would have been great? They had made fun of Nixon.
He sure had it coming. His name was Dick, for crying out loud. Okay, my villain for the week is, and I didn't post this on our Delicious page, but my villain for the week is Coke, as in Coca-Cola, the soda, the Coca-Cola. Okay. For this, I don't know, for this Coke Black bullshit, frankly.
First of all, listen to me, advertisers, marketing, everyone out there in the world. Stop removing letters from words or changing letters thinking it's cool.
It doesn't make it urban or hip.
Make it hip. I hate when people put a Z instead of an S or a D. It's stupid.
And I'm right now I'm busy trying to like find, you know, Google Coke Black and find their crappy website, which blows, by the way. Oh my god.
Sure does.
I couldn't find it because I'm spelling it BLACK.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, and nothing comes up. It says, you know, I have, you know, black market Coke is what it says. That's the first page. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amazon.
Now,
buy everything.
But the whole reason I'm you know, casting Coke as, you know, as a villain for this week is because why do we need coffee soda? Like, that's why you drink a soda, so you get the caffeine. You don't get a coffee and then like pouring like a little bit of Coke into it and you're like, that's better. I don't need, you know, cream and sugar now.
I don't know if soft drink companies are scared, because I don't know who owns what right now, but I mean,
Nike owns everything.
Nike and Disney own everything. I read an article that those energy drinks are starting to outsell pop for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Monster and Red Bull and things like that are starting to get more sales, which I understood, like, because I'm starting to see these stupid pops like Vault, I just saw, and Coca-Cola Black. I mean, this idea of caffeine energy drink pops. I mean,
why?
I agree with you. This is stupid. There's a reason there's pop, and there's a reason there's energy drinks. I mean,
I don't. I don't want bubbles in my coffee. I don't.
Exactly. I don't like coffee cold either. That's just me, but.
And then in this, in this, like the whole, you know, U.S. rampant obesity and whatnot, I'm suffering from.
Rampant.
Rampant. Okay, that's the end of my villain. Okay, your hero, go.
Hero of the week, PSP, Family Guy video game is coming out. I love Family Guy, and the graphics. What I liked that they did with this is they didn't try to make it 3D. I hate when they take a 2D show or a cartoon show and then make the video game out of it, and it has this crappy animation because they might try to make it 3D. Whole game is like two-dimensional, kind of looks like a moving comic book thing.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of it's like cell shading and stuff like
cell
that.
Cell shading, yep, exactly. I think it's going to be hilarious. You can play as Stewie, Death, Quagmire. I mean, I really think this is going to be a good game, and I'm glad that it's coming out.
So. Yeah, it looks like there's a lot of like small little jokes in the background and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I hope it's not one of those games where it's fun for the first 5 minutes and then you're like, oh, okay, this is stupid.
Like Disney's The Lion King 2. Yeah, that was a sucky game.
Yeah, what a ripoff.
Can't believe I spent $80 on that. I think this looks good. I haven't watched Family Guy in so long that just because I'm
the same as you. I catch it every now and then on Adult Swim, which I'm so happy that Adult Swim is actually showing the new episodes.
Yeah, isn't good for them, you know?
I thought once the new episodes came out that it was going to be a Fox only, but I'm sure that the people at Family Guy probably had a say, because if it weren't for Adult Swim, Family Guy wouldn't be where it's at today.
And Fox and Cartoon Network, Cartoon Network probably have some, because they're both on, like, they're all over MySpace. Whatever.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatevs.
I'm surprised to see Family Guy on TBS.
Yeah, that's weird. My hero of the week is Google. And I think from now on, for my heroes and villain, Google's going to fluctuate between hero and villain every week. I think that's just the new thing.
Just like a drunk dad. One minute he's funny, the next minute you're scared of him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm mostly scared. Their calendar, it's, you know, it's good, you know, it's got, you know, real fancy Ajax stuff, looks real fancy, but you know, it's a calendar. I don't know how much you use calendars. I don't use one that much, but the fact that it's gotten a huge amount of press, it's gotten close to 1 million subscribers to it already, like, or, you know, people using it, you know, for 1 week in existence, Google is killing it, and they're developing this sort of like jigsaw of office products. I mean, this is, you know, the same as Outlook's calendar. They have Gmail, which another, you know, competing with Outlook again. They acquired Writely last month, which is online web publishing company. No, web publishing, desktop, like word processing. That's the word I was looking for. And it's making the Microsoft Office suite, it's just making it redundant. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's Google's new business model. They want to move the Office suite online.
I don't know where Google's heading. Before I go off onto that, I just want to say I'm with you. It's a calendar. I'm surprised people got so excited about this thing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was reading posts about it and stuff, people were all like, oh, here's some screenshots. I was like, it's a damn calendar. Have you never seen what a calendar looks like? Like, look.
It has boxes with the dates on it, and it goes 2 months ahead. No, well, it's 2 months.
And, you know, it must be that amazing. I, myself, you know, use the calendar program that came with Thunderbird, I'm like you, I rarely use it. I put in two things, maybe.
Yeah, I signed up for 30 boxes way back in the day and was kind of underwhelmed by it, and this is the same sort of thing, but, you know, good for Google, like, way.
I mean, this is
because the Microsoft Office suite blows.
Oh yeah.
I've been me and my cube Cube Monkey, my fellow Cube Monkey, Ben, have been in PowerPoint hell all day today. As you can hear him shout it. You're like,
help!
All we've done is linked video files to files that exist somewhere else, and it's not going to work. Tomorrow, when we put this on another computer, it's not going to work. I guarantee.
That's the worst thing about the office suite. You can set it all up in yours, email it to someone, and for some reason the formatting is just like not going to do it.
Nope, I'm just going to be fun. I'm going to be 2 inches smaller now, and you know, fucks up everything.
Wow. But what I was going to say earlier is I'm not sure where Google's going, because I remember when they first started off and, you know, started to kind of get big, they were all about, we're going to put everything, you know, searchable. We're going to put everything on data, like every book that's ever published and every speech that's ever been written. You know, they were all about doing that. And then all of a sudden that's kind of gone. And now they're moving towards these, like, emails and programs and stock quotes.
They're really, really diversifying, and it.
I hope they stay with the putting the data on, because that was one of my favorite things about Google. Was, you know, I could search for books, I could search for articles. You know, it was.
Yeah.
I think Google is a great company, and I hope they do well.
Yeah. So those are our heroes and villains of the week. Lastly, we have a new feature. Our web link of the week. I'm not quite sure what to call it. We just sort of talked about this. Were you able to find anything?
I picked a blog, and I think it's someone that everyone should set up with their RSS or whatever you want, whatever program you use. Get it so you start get the feeds. This guy is named Tim Goodman, and he is a television critic for the San Francisco Chronicle.
What's the website?
The website is sfgate.com, and then just search for Tim Goodman, and pull up his reviews. And he's hilarious. Talks about the shows he's one of the first reviewers I've read that makes sense when they talk about shows. You know, some of these people, you know, they're not the greatest actors, but we like the show because it's funny. You know, that he's really good at this. He talks about everything from Sopranos to Survivor. So he covers all the different genres. He's a great guy. Subscribe to his blog if you can. The name of the blog is Tim Goodman, the Bastard Machine.
I love it. That's a good name for a blog. Mine is also a blog. It's consumerevangelist.com. It's called the Church of the Consumer. And the website is consumerevangelists.typepad.com. And all it is sort of an aggregation of these, consumer-generated content and companies using and helping and facilitating, you know, this dialogue between their consumers. They find a lot of really great, obscure citizen marketers that I ordinarily would not have heard of, and I just think it's great. I mean, they're two very good professionals, Ben McConnell and Jackie Huba, and they're really interesting. They have some good stories. I think it's great.
Excellent.
I don't know if you've been able to check it out.
Week, if you want to check out the stories that we covered this week, or any news that we're talking about, go to knowledgeis.blogspot.com. And if you want to check out my stories, go to delicious, that's del.icio.us/knowledgeispower/Eric, ERIC.
And if you want to check out any of my stories, go to delicious/knowledgeispower/Greg.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. As always, stand strong.
Stand strong, everyone. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Bye.
All right, Greg, have a good one.
All right, man.
Knowledge is power!
Now multiply that with 3 times.